Today, let's talk about self-care. What is self-care? What does that mean?
I guess you could define it as anything that we do deliberately in order to take care of our mental, emotional, and physical health. So just caring for yourself, it's sort of self-explanatory, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think we get into the mundane part of life and you forget, you get on cruise control.
Well, and I think sometimes we've been raised that we've got to be overachievers and not come across as lazy. So sometimes whenever you're like, I'm going to go get a pedicure or a massage, people are like,
we don't want to be self-indulgent.
We don't want to be, people right? go, oh, must be nice mm-hmm. to be able to go do those things.
Right.
I have to work, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. So, but we all have to know what we need in order to continue the daily grind. Cause if you just grind it out day after day, you're going to burn out and you're no good to anybody. So, you know, it's just like the whole thing whenever you get on an airplane and they tell the moms, you put your oxygen mask on.
What a great analogy.
Before,
yes.
Yeah. Because you can't take care of anybody else unless you take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the best analogy I've ever heard for self-care.
That's
got to take care of yourself.
My oxygen first. Hashtag my oxygen first.
There you go. That's right. So you tell your kids, not that I don't love you, but somebody told me I had to take care of myself first.
Right.
If I get around to you.
What are some consequences of neglecting self-care? What if we just put self-care aside so long? What are some physical symptoms?
Well, I think that, you know, low energy, hopeless feelings, helpless feelings. You have less patience with your kids. I know with my own kids, if I am totally wrung out or, you know, just have been on the go, and they ask one thing, could have been the thing that just lit me up. And I was just like, oh my gosh, go ask your dad or whatever, something like that. So, you have increased symptoms of stress because if you're grinding it out, it's like if somebody comes in my door and asks for one more thing, or if I have one more deadline or whatever. And sometimes you'll let everything crash. You know, nobody likes to do that, but at some point you're just going to reach that tipping point in which you can't do anything about it. So, it can affect your sleep, can affect, you know, the way you're eating, whether you're overeating. It depends on, you know, whenever you're under stress, do you overeat or do you undereat? You know, being able to concentrate, being able to make decisions. It affects all of those things. You burn out. You distance yourself from your relationship with your spouse or your partner, and you have less motivation to do things that you normally enjoy doing. So that's a long list, and there's probably many more, but that's just kind of a few of those.
So it sounds like neglecting self-care starts to push you into other arenas, mental health issues.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we all have been guilty of not taking care of ourselves. I mean, how do you know whenever you've gone too long without doing something?
Oh, I get irritated very easily, like you're saying, over very simple things. Yeah, that's whenever I can kind of take a step back and say, oh, I haven't been practicing self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it could be something like I've just postponed it so long that it's just, like Melanie was saying, it's just build up and build up. And then finally, it's a mountain of stress, and you're like, whoa, I have to take a step back and do some self-care here.
Well, I really like the fact that self-care it's such a buzz phrase, but I like the fact that it is a thing now, because I can think years ago especially when my older kids were little, I don't remember hearing self-care being talked about at all.
Mm-hmm.
So back to like the old mom guilt, or just guilt in general about not feeling like you can do those things or feeling like you don't want to talk about, you know, too much about what you're doing for yourself because it seems selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of self-care.
Well, and I think back in the day, not that we're old, but, you know, you always feel like I'm sacrificing something else that's important to do something for myself. And once again, we're taught not to be that selfish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now we have to know you have to sacrifice something in order to be able to move forward in a healthy manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that self-care is becoming more of a buzzword that it's okay to talk about, just like mental health. I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, is to bring awareness to mental health and how it's not a dirty word either.
It's not. Well, we talk about mental health days all the time.
Yeah.
And I would much rather a therapist at Centers come to me and say, I really need a mental health day. And you give them the day off and they come back refreshed or whatever, than when they completely burn themselves out and then they're sick for an entire, you know, like winter season because their immune system is down. Mm-hmm. So it's that important. And so I think supervisors everywhere have to look at productivity across a spectrum.
Right.
You know, if they take one day off versus 15 because they're stressed out, you're winning.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that employers need to start investing in mental health.
One of the things that Melanie and I have been involved in is going into some of the larger corporations around town and doing some, not trainings, but some presentations. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is many of those have an internal mental health, you know, kind of program.
They get it.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they have thousands of employees, and I think that they found out over time. But it's some of the
international initiatives.
Exactly.
So, but it's really great to see.
But some of the smaller companies are just like, oh, we have to have all the manpower we can. And, you know, I just don't think they see that in a way that these larger corporations do. So we want the word to get out that it's important that you take care of your employees that way.
Mm-hmm. So what are some examples? What are some things that you can do? I see that you recommend at least 30 minutes of me time every day. So let's talk about the difference in the day when you just need self-care, like a whole day, mm-hmm. but things that you can do every single day for 30 minutes. And let's talk about that. What can we do on a daily basis to improve our mental health?
What would be your, well, I would ask, I mean, what would be your recommendation? I feel like it's good. I think it's good to set timers for mm-hmm. time. We're mm-hmm. such we're in a rushed world. Mm-hmm. And so you can get trapped in work or whatever it is. But I have found for myself, I set an actual alarm and it goes off every night at 9 o'clock, whatever me time is. And sometimes it doesn't work out, but I try to always have that little reminder there. And either
that's a good idea.
I'll turn the TV off, I'll read a book, or I'll listen to a podcast, or I'll do something that's just, you know, mm-hmm. for me.
Well, and I think it's harder whenever you have kids at home, like for me, because my kids are grown and out of the house, so I can, you know, I can get in the bathtub and watch some Netflix or read a book or go for a quick walk with my dogs. But, you know, Melanie and I rarely take lunch, and I think that's something that she and I need to talk about. We gotta be better with each other saying, you need to go at least get out of the office and do something. Cause we'll just work through and we'll look up and we'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't even break for lunch today. If you do very many days like that, you're going, I don't even like my job. I don't even like my coworkers or whatever.
It makes for a long day.
It's a long day. So now in lunch, it needs to be a time that you definitely unplug from work. And if you need to run an errand, that's fine. I just think it should be more about, even if you're going to go home, sit down and, you know, kind of try to relax. Put your feet up, take your shoes off or something like that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be anything extravagant.
And I've heard before that studies have shown even during your lunch break or 15 minutes, just get out of your office and go walk around the building. Mm-hmm. And I've done that and it was very beneficial just to get a breath of fresh air and come back into the office and, you know, look at it. Especially like I do art. So anyone who's listening, who's an artist too, if you're just working on a painting or something and you're getting frustrated, sometimes if you just take a break, you go outside, mess with your dogs or go get a snack or something, you come back, you just see it differently. Mm-hmm. So I think that you can do that also physically and mentally. If you just give yourself a little breather during the day.
Yeah. There's not anywhere, you know, that you work in Midland that you can't get to a park somewhere. You know, and at Centers, we have a beautiful courtyard that's got four benches. And now that the weather's cooler, sometimes just going out there and sitting, and you know, we have a Centers therapy cat that will come and visit with you. So it does, it, once again,
what's
nothing
its name?
Mama Kitty.
Aww,
because we're creative that way. But it doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be, you know, a grand gesture. It just has to be something to where you're kind of unplugging your brain from the grind.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard about something before where, let's say you're really upset that day. Krista, you probably know what I'm talking about. And you know the more therapeutic way to address it. if you're really upset and you give yourself 30 minutes to cry it out or mm-hmm. 30 minutes to be mad, and then you say, okay, I've gave myself 30 minutes to do it. Now I'm moving on.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's compartmentalization. It is basically, I have this emotion in me that I need to pay attention to, but I don't want to let it kind of, you know, wave over me. So whenever you do 30 minutes of being mad or screaming in a pillow or pounding a pillow or crying or whatever, and then you go, okay, now time to sit up a little straighter and focus. And it's not to say that it goes away. Mm-hmm. You've given it in a little bit at a time to where it doesn't feel so big at the end of the day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great.
I think we all need to go back to, my mom worked for a legal secretary, as a legal secretary for years, and they had a morning coffee break and they had an afternoon coffee break. And it was 15 or 20 minutes. They all went into the break room. They all had coffee. They could, you know, kind of talk to their peers about things that were going on, and then they went back to work. So now I think, though, we've made it to where you can have, you know, you can have a snack at your desk. You can have a drink at your desk. Just keep working.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were healthier back then in the workplace because they did take a break and they very much observed the work hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we take our, because we have internet and we have our computers at home. Sometimes I'm answering emails at 6:45 at home, mm-hmm. and as late as 8 or 9 or 10. The unplug is important.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of self-care, I think, mm-hmm. is setting boundaries
mm-hmm.
and giving yourself time when you just don't look at your phone first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's just, it's a weird habit that I bet 90% of the population partakes in. But part of that is you get trapped in an email and then mm-hmm. you're going, okay, I've got to answer this. And before you've even started your day, you're already running on anxiety from bed. So same thing as you go to sleep. If you start checking all of that stuff before you go to sleep, you're not going to be able to sleep because now you're thinking about all of these activities that you need mm-hmm. to work on.
And this is what I tell my people at work. If there's something that is that serious, I'm going to call you. If I email you, it's probably because I have 8,000 things in my brain and I just want to go ahead and shoot that off to you. I don't need a response. If it's serious, I'm going to call you.
Or I'm going to call you by accident. I accidentally called her last night.
And it's okay.
Okay. So speaking of sleep, on the last episode, you mentioned, Christy, sleep hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on that. I thought that was an interesting subject.
Don't we love sleep? Who doesn't love sleep?
I love sleep.
We
love sleep.
Some good cleansing sleep.
Yes. Right. Like the deep REM sleep is what you're looking for.
So we just assume that we're going to go to bed. We're going to close our eyes whenever we get ready. We're going to stop watching TV, Netflix. We're going to stop reading and we're going to go to sleep. That doesn't always happen whenever your brain is very full. So you have to have deliberate steps to alert your brain and your body that it's time to start shutting down. So that is like, you know, you don't eat spicy food, you don't drink caffeine, you don't work out, you know, don't go for a 10-mile run at 8:00 at night. You know, take a warm bath. Whatever it is that signals the shutdown. When my kids were little, we drank something warm every night, whether it was hot chocolate or something that didn't have caffeine in it. So we had our warm drink. And that was a signal for them. So, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, a bath or whatever it is. So then you get in your bed, you set your temperature, you have the right, you know, darkness or whatever, and then you go to sleep. And
it's
easier.
I have a
whole
sleeping ritual.
What is your ritual?
It's very important.
Let's hear it.
So I'm very strict about making sure I wash my face at mm-hmm. night and do all of mm-hmm. that. And then I have my Retin-A that I put on, but it's so part of my routine that mm-hmm. if I break it, it'll affect my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I have my diffuser that I put next to my bed and I put lavender drops in that, sometimes a little eucalyptus. I have a sound machine that mm-hmm. Plays like thunder. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge little event, but it really helps me to get into that mode. And then sometimes I'll also listen to different sleep meditations where somebody will talk you through mm-hmm. sleeping, whether it's a prayer or I listen to somebody just reading me a bedtime story, and which is funny because that really does put you to sleep.
Puts me to sleep every time.
Why we used to do that with kids. So.
Yeah, it's routine.
Yes.
Like the examples that you gave, because our bodies are machines mm-hmm. and we have to oil those mm-hmm. machines and we have to keep them on track. I like that, the sleep hygiene thing.
Well, it's the first thing. If you go to a doctor and say, I'm having trouble sleeping, he's going to say, what is your nighttime routine? And because, you know, people go, oh, I'm going to have Ambien, or, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, take something to put me to sleep. And they're like, no, let's don't go there yet. It might be serious enough that we have to, but let's back up. Let's say starting at 5:00, what are you doing, you know, to get ready? Our parents, grandparents, great grandparents had it right. You give the kids a bath. You know, you have them brush their teeth, you read them a bedtime story, and you turn out the light. Every step of the way was preparing their minds and their bodies for the rest that was coming.
Yeah, and I've heard about the negative side effects of the blue light from your screens. Mm-hmm. They say don't even look at your screen, 30 minutes or so before bed, because it really affects just your your body's natural way of trying to fall asleep.
I can attest to that. If I'm watching something on Netflix, well, first of all, they've made it easy just to go into the next episode. So they all run together and, you know, 18 hours later, you're still watching whatever you were watching. But when you shut that down,
it's still in your brain. I always feel like, this doesn't happen very often, but I remember just when you have that little screen that says, are you still watching?
Yes.
I feel like such a loser.
Yeah.
Especially if I wake up and that's on, I'm like, oh.
Of course I'm still watching. I'm still
like, watching. Thanks for judging me, Netflix.
Right, we're even judged by Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So let's also talk about how your diet and how food plays into self-care.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I want to address is always you have to hydrate yourself. Because if you are not drinking enough water during the day, at some point you're already dehydrated. Your body recognizes that in the nighttime, and it will wake you up because it's kind of like sending out danger, danger, you know, you're dehydrated. And then sometimes you wake up and you've got a headache or, you know, whatever it else. So you've got to hydrate. Now, once again, when you get a certain age, you don't want to drink a lot of water right before you go to bed or you're up going to the bathroom all night. But hydration is super important. Once again, it's Melanie and I have this conversation all the time about how everything affects the brain and the brain affects everything else. So if you are not taking care of your body and your brain through nutritious food and hydration, then you're already handicapping yourself. So eating.
I've become a big stickler. I carry this thing and I fill it up all day.
That's a Yeti?
It's a fake Yeti.
It's a fake Yeti. Okay.
I fill it up with ice and I squeeze a whole lemon in it every day and I just drink that throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better and I know it makes a difference. If I don't, that's when I can tell.
Mm-hmm. And some other examples that you guys have here is something like switching from fried chicken to grilled chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Set a goal of adding one new vegetable or fruit option to your meals each week.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to become vegan because, hi, I've been that person. I'm just going to change everything. It's easier, I think, to just make these smaller changes, wouldn't you?
Oh, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, once again, it's important. You've got it. Your body has to have fuel. So you want to make sure you're giving it something that will be long lasting versus, you know, you flame and burn out, you know, with too much sugar or, you know, the bad carbs.
Now, right.
We all love carbs, and, you know, from time to time. One simple thing that we can do. A friend of mine just said she and her husband just decided one meal every day was going to be a salad. Okay. So you know that you're getting, and salads can also be not so nutritious if you add too much stuff, but you're basically saying, I'm recognizing the importance of, you know, green leafy vegetables and other things, you know, carrots, whatever, tomatoes, cucumbers, whatever that you put in it, at least for one meal. Now, if you get up in the morning, you eat a burrito for lunch and then you have a hamburger and french fries for dinner and then you have pizza at night, nothing there. I mean, it tastes good, but there's little nutritional value there. Mm-hmm. So doctors, nutritionists have made it so easy for us to know what to eat, and yet we still
don't do it. Yeah.
It's mindful practice. Mm-hmm. If you want to eat healthy, it takes a little bit of effort because the easiest options are always the cheapest options, and always the least nutritional.
And something that helps me whenever I'm in a hurry and all there is fast food, is there's an app that you can download for all of the fast food chains and see. I do carbs. I try to do low carbs. So it'll tell you the carb and the calorie counts. So you can look through that app and say, okay, well, I have to go to Wendy's today because it's right here. I'm in a hurry. But what can I do consciously by looking at this app to say, okay, well, that can stay somewhat in my range. I'm not saying that that's the most nutritious option, but you're making that conscious decision not to have the number one double with cheese and all that, right? Which sounds really, really good right now.
It does sound good. But what that does is that it carries over because you've made a good decision. So you already feel like you're proud of yourself. And your body is happy because it's gotten some food, and it's not all bad. And so I think that perpetuates it, making it easier to make a good decision the next day and feel good and continuous. Like Melanie said, you have to make a mindful change.
And how about those apps? I mean, they're great. There's apps. My youngest has an app that tells her how much water to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so she can keep tabs on it and it gives her little rewards or whatever. But there's a lot of mindfulness type mm-hmm. apps for meditation. And mm-hmm. of course, if you have an Apple Watch, it'll stop and tell you to breathe
okay.
or to stand up, which really makes you feel bad. You're going, oh,
I've been sitting for 6 hours.
Yeah. So there's a lot of help through yeah. technology. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool stuff, mm-hmm. I think.
And what about scheduling medical checkups? That's something that I think we put that off.
That's self-care. Yeah.
And see, I was saying earlier, I'm probably a lot more diligent about like getting my hair done. I go get my hair did.
By the way, it was good,
hair.
Melanie.
Did you get your hair did?
And to make a doctor's appointment, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
It's all, that should be priority, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, getting your hair done, that is an example of self-care. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't mm-hmm. feel bad about that. No one should.
I think there's a point of diminishing returns in which you have to do things that make you feel good about yourself. And yet, does it cost so much money that causes a different stressor, right?
That's true.
So budgeting and, you know, choosing, you know, try not to do all your beauty routine at once unless you've saved for that.
Oh yeah. You got to plan it out.
But yes, all of those are so important. And I had a dental emergency yesterday. And so it was one of those things that you put it off and put it off, you know, even when the doctor's saying, well, we probably need to get that. Oh yeah. Well, now we really need to get that. And, you know, and then all of a sudden it's an emergency and you have to get it taken care of.
Mm.
So you don't want to live your life like that either. So it needs to be.
That's a good example. A toothache.
Mm-hmm.
You just put it off until it's so bad that you have to make an emergency visit.
And getting regular dental visits and going to your annual doctor mm-hmm. visits that you're required to, even going to a dermatologist and having everything just checked out on an annual.
Yeah, if you start letting things fall off your list of things that are important, pretty soon you find that you're not doing anything for yourself because you've like, okay, well, I let that go or I couldn't afford that and I let that go and I let that go. And I don't really need that. I'm doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing fine right up until the point you're not doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know exercise is important. Melanie, you're an advocate for exercise.
Yeah.
Talk more about that. How does that play into your physical and mental health?
I started running and I went through all overall health problems. Anyway, once those got resolved, I started to feel like, okay, I need to do something. I need to lose weight. I need to change I don't feel good. And so I started running and I never thought I'd be a runner. I wasn't a runner as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was that kid that I'd run for like a half a second. My side's hurting and I want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
So I would run like the distance of a block and then walk up until I got up to a mile. And then I got up to a couple miles and then I, you know, ran my first 5K and that's for me.
Yeah.
That's
so you started off slow
yeah,
to physically build stamina.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you can do that with your mind too.
Yes. And so now I run like 2 miles in the morning. It's not huge, but it's perfect for me. It's all I have time for. And it is truly a mental health thing. I mean, it helps me get clarity. It gives me the energy I need in the middle of the day. And then I feel better about it. If I don't run, I think about that all day.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me.
Well, I think the experts say it's better to exercise in the morning if you can.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to create that time in the afternoon.
I've read like your cardio activity should be in the morning. And then mm-hmm. if you're going to do any strength training, it's okay to do it at night. But mm-hmm. like Christine mentioned earlier, if you're running 10 miles before you go to bed, that does not make for a very restful sleep. But one thing I like to stress is that it's about what's best for you. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's a runner. Or not everybody is a weightlifter. Not everybody does the
yoga
CrossFit. Everybody has their own. It's all about finding what mm-hmm. works for you personally.
And that you will go and that you will continue to do. You have to like it well enough. I mean, in my neighborhood, my husband's always going, I can't drive down the road without almost running over, you know, people walking their dogs. And yet I'm thinking, those people are outside. Sometimes it's whole families. They're interacting with each other. They've got their dogs. If that's the reason they're getting out, they're meeting each other. And then whenever they walk, you know, home at night, they feel like, oh, we've connected.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to deal with your mental health than to connect with your neighbors and say hello and see the same people walking or your dog has the same dog friends on the walk or whatever. So
I have a girlfriend and every now and then, instead of like meeting out, she'll come around where I'm at, and we'll just walk through my neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and chat and catch up,
mm-hmm.
which I think is awesome
I
because we're out in nature and we're talking, but we also feel like we're accomplishing something.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be over a plate of nachos and a margarita. Now, that's fun.
And we can do that after. But it does make you feel like, hey, we're actually doing something positive and we're connecting. So. Mm-hmm.
So speaking about positive things, let's talk about making a positive reflection checklist. Christy, do you want to talk about that? How important is it to look back and reflect on all the cool stuff you did and all the positive stuff that you've done?
Well, it's like we talked about earlier. It's easy to, you know, bash yourself every day because you didn't do everything that was on your list that you wanted to do.
Or come up with stuff that you need to do.
That you need to do. And rarely do you give yourself credit for what you've done. So I think at the end of the day to say, oh, I made it to Odessa despite all the crazy construction this morning. I fulfilled that commitment. I made it back to Midland to go to Frost Bank. I made it to the podcast. You know, I kind of sounded like I knew what I was talking about. Instead of going, oh my gosh, I thought I'd never get there. And then I had to be all the way back. And then I went to that podcast and I don't even remember what I said. You know, it's kind of like gratitude and, you know, positivity. And once again, when your head hits the pillow and you can be positive about your day, even if something bad has not worked the way that you wanted it to, you've had some time to get your perspective and go, yeah, well, I'm not losing sleep over that. Or that's something I'm going to put on a list to think about tomorrow. So it's very important.
Maybe you can write that positive thing that happened or more than one thing in your journal that you do when you're journaling for the day.
Mm-hmm. It goes along with like the gratitude thing. Yeah. We talked about that, which is great. It's good to think about, you know, thankful for people in my life, but also remind yourself that you did some cool stuff today. Mm-hmm, we all do something good.
Yes.
I mean, really, you've done something positive at some point. You just have to think about it and find it. Even if you just got up out of bed.
Well, yeah. I had somebody tell me, and it was this greatest compliment I've had in a while. They were like, every time I see you, you make eye contact with me and you either smile or say something, right? So I'm like, I'm not even aware that I do that, even though I'm usually pretty happy, but I'm thinking that was enough for that person that they felt like that was a gift that I could give to them was just to be smiley and pleasant. So give yourself credit for just being smiley and pleasant.
Yeah. You are enough. You are enough. And let's do some like motivational quotes right here. I could go to Instagram and type in motivational quotes. Okay. So I am a huge RuPaul fan. Mm-hmm. You guys know RuPaul?
Sure.
And he says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Mm-hmm. And then the crowd says, amen. That's a book that I'm going to recommend. Mm-hmm. I don't know the title. He has like four, but they're in my bookshelf in there. I'll tag it at the end. Mm-hmm. It's actually very motivational.
Sure.
And I think if you're exposing yourself to those positive things, those motivational quotes, even on Instagram, if you're on Instagram, look up some positive stuff. If you're on Facebook, look for some positive stuff.
I read all of those because you're going to find one that resonates with you on that day, or it might become your own mantra or whatever. So whenever you're meditating or, you know, trying to settle your mind, you can say some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hoda Kotb from Today's Show just has one of those book out. It's all about her, the inspirational sayings or things. I don't remember what the name of it is.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Saying that we use, my girls and I, like this is our household thing. But anytime we're feeling like, oh, I don't want to do this, or I'm afraid to do this, or whatever it is, we're always like, let's just Eddie Mercury this thing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
After watching, I mean, who doesn't love Eddie Mercury? And it's just, you think about all of the adversity that he faced. And so we just kind of coined that little term for our household. And anytime we've got, like, we're worried about a test in the morning or auditions or not for me, but whatever it is. Or
you're auditioning for something?
No, her daughter.
Oh, your daughter's auditioning. Cool.
She did. She auditioned for a play. And she's going to be in it.
Nice.
But you know, there's that fear.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But she's pushing herself, right?
Yes.
She's getting out of that comfort zone, which is a great example of self-care.
And if you have not practiced self-care, you don't have the ability to Eddie Mercury your way through that.
Right.
You're too exhausted. You're too worn out. You're too afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever it might be, you're not confident enough. So you have to do that to be able to take that big push.
Do you encourage people like that are looking to build confidence in that direction? Is that part
Absolutely. Of it? Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to, because some of us are born with that innate ability to just say, no, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I will do this. There are some people who are born with that I think I can, or, oh, I know I can't. So you've got to take those people, I think I can. It's like, yeah, you can. You're going to do it. People that I don't think I can, I'm like, okay, then what are the steps that you need to take? So let's look at step one.
Right.
You know?
So that's a good example for people who have not practiced self-care and mm-hmm. are wanting to start. Mm-hmm. So hopefully after this episode, you will want to practice self-care, because it's perfectly fine to practice self-care, and it's not a dirty phrase, and you deserve self-care. So Christy, how would you end this episode? After hearing this episode, they're like, I'm going to go get some water. I'm going to start drinking some water, and then I'm going to practice self-care. What's the first step?
I think the first step is to make yourself a short list of things that would be easy to do in your own home or in your own workplace. Don't go big immediately. It's like, I'm going to drink water all day like Melanie does, you know, or I'm going to walk to the mailbox and back, or I'm going to eat a salad every day, or I'm going to make one phone call to make one doctor's appointment, or, you know, do something fun with someone. So it's, you know, it is the baby steps. When I was going to graduate school, my mom got me this cute little caterpillar that said, inch by inch, anything's a cinch.
Aww,
right?
That's cute.
Isn't that cute?
That's cute.
I know. She's great. So, right? Me too, Melanie. Thank you for that. So, you know, once again, if you're just taking little steps, you're eventually going to get to the point where you look back and you go, I am exactly where I wanted to be.
That's perfect ending.
You know, just another thing, though, when you're scheduling your physical health checkups, schedule a mental health checkup. Give a call to a therapist, because our therapist can help, and you can get some, not just almost therapy there.
You can get full-blown therapy.
Full-blown
that is true.
And coaching. So
if you, yeah,
we're there.
Like Melanie said, if there's any, for any reason, if you're just like feeling stuck in a rut, or, you know, unstuck yourself by making that phone call, or if you find it difficult to practice self-care because you've never done it, you know, or you're worried about your mental health, you're like, I'm not as happy as I feel like I should be because things are going well, and that's whenever you give us a call. Also have a couple of books. I don't know if y'all know who Brené Brown is, but
yes.
She's a Christian motivational speaker.
Yeah,
she is great. It's called Braving the Wilderness.
Oh,
it's very much about, you know, stepping out and knowing everything that you have to do for yourself along the way. And the other one is called The Self-Care Prescription, Powerful Solutions to Manage Stress, Anxiety. That's a long
that
one.
A
oh,
long.
And okay. Increase Well-Being.
Okay.
So that one's by Robin Gobin.
Okay.
G-O-B-I-N. That is a good one because it is it's like a workbook. It's super simple. It's almost like you go and do a checklist. So that'll get you started.
Great.
I want to share one of my favorites, and I don't know, this might pop up in a different place, but it's What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast. And it's by Laura Vanderkam.
Yes.
And it's short, but it's awesome because it helps you. There's like, you can even download a spreadsheet. You can account for your entire day and just kind of keep a diary of what you're doing all day, so you can see where you're wasting time and where you can add.
That's a great idea.
I've read that like 3 times. Mm-hmm. So then we'll talk about what we did. We're all going to have some homework.
Yeah.
Go do some self-care.
The books that we recommend are What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast by Laura Vanderkamp, The Self-Care Prescription by Robin Gobin, that's G-O-B-I-N, and Braving the Wilderness by Brené Brown, that's Brené with a B, and Working It, The Guide to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Style by RuPaul. Center Solutions is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. Post-production work is done by Bailey Hennis and Abby Wiggum. Content is provided by Melanie Size and Christy Edwards. Contact Centers for Children and Families at 432-570-1084 or the Recording Library, 432-682-2731. Email Melanie with questions you want answered on the show at msize@centerstexas.org. That's msize@centerstx.org. Both nonprofits are on all social media platforms. See you next time.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
This program is intended for a print impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Herbert Gilmore, and this is Prevention Magazine. I will be reading articles for December 29th, 2020, episode of Prevention Magazine. The first article is Playing Defense by Beth Howard. Immunity is on everyone's mind these days, and not only because of COVID-19. We're also in the thick of cold and flu season, and who wants to get sick with anything? Here's what we know and what we still have to learn about the body's natural illness-fighting system. Maybe you wouldn't have been first in line to have cowpox pus rubbed into an open wound on your arm as an 8-year-old boy back in 1796, when British Dr. Edward Jenner theorized that this might help prevent smallpox. But the procedure worked, and the doctor's strange idea jump-started decades of scientific exploration of the concept of immunity. That marked the beginning of an understanding that the body has a defense system, says Daniel M. Davis, PhD, a professor of immunology at the University of Manchester in the UK, and the author of The Beautiful Cure. Fast forward a few centuries, and the advice we follow to stay well, vaccinations we get, and groundbreaking treatments for conditions like cancer and autoimmune disorders stem from years of immunity-related research and clinical trials. But even with all the progress, there's a lot we don't know. So we went to the experts to find out what may be headed our way when it comes to maximizing the body's illness-fighting capabilities. How immunity works. Ever wondered how your body knows what to do to give a common cold the boot? Your body creates immune cells that remember dangerous germs that have infiltrated your body in the past. And these memory cells give you the ability to fight off pathogens better when your body sees them again, says Davis. As soon as we're born, the immune system began evolving. Each time we're exposed to bacteria, viruses, or other pathogens that don't belong inside us, the hundreds of white blood cells, proteins, tissues, and organs involved in it get better and better at recognizing a threat, eliminating it, and keeping it at bay. We also know that certain cells trigger this immune fighting response. Roving dendritic cells, for example, which patrol the bloodstream for foreign particles and sound the alarm to alert other immune cells when it's time to attack. There are also other mechanisms that protect you. Vaccines. The vaccinations we get to prevent diseases, all of which were developed through research that followed Edward Jenner's 18th century smallpox experiment, take advantage of the body's natural defenses. When we intentionally introduce a harmless form of virus or bacteria to the body responds as though it were the real thing and trains cells to respond and or create antibodies to protect against it in the future, says William Schaffner, MD, a professor of medicine at the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Genes. A person's DNA plays a starring role in the immunity picture, too. Some 8,000 genes control the cells that protect you from harm. This helps explain why immunotherapy, when doctors use target medications to encourage the immune system to fight harder against tumor cells, is an effective treatment for certain cancer patients. Immunologists are now researching how someone's specific genetic makeup could be weaponized against diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis and multiple sclerosis. Nudging the power of your immune system up or down in different situations may be a route to tackling any number of different diseases, says Davis. Age. Unfortunately, the ever-evolving immune system eventually becomes a little less good at its job. As we age, the ability of white blood cells to deal with infections and respond to vaccinations declines, opening the door for illness or inflammation that can lead to chronic disease over time. That's why older people are often hit harder by milder maladies such as a cold, and why vaccines tend not to work as well in them. They need to be extra careful about exposure to contagious viruses like COVID-19 and the flu, and especially vigilant about following wellness-promoting habits, particularly that of exercise. Research shows that being physically active is a good way to boost your immune system in old age, says Janet Lord, PhD, the director of the Institute of Inflammation and Aging at the University of Birmingham in the UK. What the future looks like. even with as much as we know. Say immunologists, there's still plenty to learn, such as why certain vaccines don't work equally well for everyone. An area being feverishly researched as scientists scramble to develop a safe and effective COVID-19 vaccine. The pandemic has highlighted that though we have had vaccines for hundreds of years, we don't always know how to make something trigger the adaptive immune response in a way that's protective and long-lasting, Davis says. Trial and error is a big part of learning, which is one reason it's hard for experts to say exactly when a coronavirus vaccine will be distributed widely to the public. Beyond harnessing the immune system to fight illness with vaccines and targeted disease treatments, another area of immunity research experts are excited about involves the circadian rhythm. This internal body clock, which regulates our sleep-wake cycle and keeps all our body processes functioning, could have the potential to be used to maximize a treatment's effectiveness. For instance, some data suggests that people respond better to inoculations for hepatitis and influenza when pricked in the morning as opposed to the afternoon. Our symptoms and immune activity change throughout the day, so it makes sense that medicines might work best when given at a specific time, and that's what we're trying to find out, says Davis. The five pillars of immunity. So what does this mean in terms of what you can do to keep your immune system functioning at its absolute best? Here's what experts know can help keep your defenses strong. 1. Vaccines. Stay up to date on the vaccinations your doctor recommends. It is especially important to protect yourself from the flu this year. Because COVID-19 is also still a risk, making sure that you don't end up in a crowded ER is prudent, says Dr. Schaffner. It's not too late for a flu shot this season. 2. Taming stress. Chronic stress can put a damper on your disease-fighting superpowers by messing with levels of cortisol. Constant imbalances in this hormone can trigger inflammation, which may weaken your immune system over time. 3. Quality sleep. Regularly skimping on sleep can lead to body-wide inflammation, which can increase your chances of getting sick and make it hard to recover. 4. Diet. No food can magically boost the immune system, but eating a wide variety of nutritious fruits and vegetables, lean protein, and whole grains will deliver the array of vitamins and minerals and other nutrients that help keep inflammation at bay and immunity strong. This is also promotes a healthy balance of gut bacteria, important because much of your immune system is housed in your gut. 5. Exercise. Physical activity helps immune cells circulate better and improves their overall function in fighting off germs. New research suggested exercising 150 to 300 minutes a week may improve disease fighting power, says study author David C. Neiman, Dr. Ph., the director of Appalachian State University's Human Performance Laboratory at Kannapolis, North Carolina. Be supplement savvy. You'll see immunity-boosting claims on everything from OJ to cough drops. This is what science says about whether supposedly immune-bolstering ingredients may actually work. Vitamin C. This antioxidant is the darling of the immunity world, but no concrete research proves that a supplement of it will ward off a case of the sniffles. One good review did find that taking it regularly cut the duration of a cold by about 8% for adults and 14% for children. Zinc. There's evidence that certain forms of this mineral, zinc gluconate and zinc acetate, can shorten the time you're sick by 2 to 3 days. Echinacea. Research is mixed on whether or not this herb can prevent you from getting sick, but one trial found that it did appear to help protect people against the common cold when taken 3 times a day throughout the season. Vitamin D. A 2017 meta-analysis found that taking a supplement of this daily or weekly could reduce the number of colds people who had low levels of it came down with. But while experts suspect that being deficient in this vitamin may be associated more with severe cases of COVID-19, there's no evidence that taking a supplement will help avoid that. Get your D levels checked at your next visit to your doctor and follow their advice. Golden seal root extract. Research on the supplement in people is scant, but one human study did show that golden seal root might help boost the white blood cell levels. The study design wasn't good enough to make it reliable, however. Ashwagandha. This herb is prized in holistic medicine, but most of the clinical studies of it in relation to immune functions have been on animals, and we just don't know if it offers any benefit for human immunity. Vitamin E. One study found that in seniors, taking vitamin E compared with a placebo led to significantly fewer upper respiratory infections. The vitamin may enhance the function of disease-fighting cells that start to misfire with age, but there's no research on whether it might benefit younger people similarly. Elderberry extract. Studies suggest that this sweet tart purple syrup may be helpful in decreasing the severity of viral infections like colds and the flu. Flip to page 22 to get the recipe for a delicious immune-supporting smoothie using this ingredient. That article was Playing Defense by Beth Howard. The next article is Eat to Reset Your Body by Stephanie Anderson Whitmer. No need for a restrictive cleanse to start fresh this year. Your body can detox itself. The key is to feed it the right nutrients to support its natural internal filtering system, which includes the liver, kidneys, digestive system, lungs, skin, and blood. Ring in 2021 by adding these foods to your plate. Broccoli. Good digestion helps your body absorb nutrients and ensures that the bad stuff makes its way out. Fiber-filled broccoli is one of the best foods for this. It contains sulforaphane, which research suggests may help get rid of airborne pollutants and protect against certain cancers. Broccoli stir-fry. Place 1 pound of broccoli, cut into small florets, stems thinly sliced, and a half cup of water in a large skillet. Cover and simmer until bright green and nearly tender, 4 to 5 minutes. Whisk together 2 tablespoons of low-sodium tamari, 1 tablespoon each brown sugar and grated ginger, 2 tablespoons rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon cornstarch, 1/4 cup water. Stir in 1 small red chili, thinly sliced, add to skillet, toss, and simmer until slightly thickened. Serve sprinkled with sesame seeds and scallions. Leeks. Probiotics, good bacteria. Need probiotics to thrive in your gut, says Geraldine Jones, RDN, spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Leeks are a good source of this, as well as chymphorol, a flavonoid that targets inflammation and protects blood vessels from oxidative damage, both of which affect chronic disease risk. Lemony leek linguine. Cook 12-ounce linguine per package. Directions. Heat 2 tablespoons of olive oil in a large deep skillet on medium. Add 2 medium leeks, white and light green parts, cut into half moons. Season with 1/2 teaspoon salt and saute until tender. 7 minutes. Add 2 cloves garlic chopped and saute 2 minutes. Add 1/2 cup of pasta cooking water, 1 cup frozen peas thawed, 2 teaspoons lemon zest. Cook 2 minutes. Toss with pasta. 1/2 cup grated Parmesan and 2 tablespoons lemon juice. Serve sprinkled with chopped parsley and more Parmesan. Mushrooms. These fabulous fungi contain selenium, an inflammation-reducing mineral that's essential for good thyroid function and a healthy metabolism. Shroom toast topper. Heat large skillet on medium-high. Add 2 tablespoons of oil and in 3 batches cook 1 pound mixed mushrooms, sliced if large. Toss them occasionally until tender. 4 to 6 minutes. Season with salt and red pepper flakes. Transfer to bowl and repeat, adding more oil as necessary. Spoon over toast spread with goat cheese. Butternut squash. This winter veggie boasts 2 powerful antioxidants. Vitamin A, which supports heart, lung, and kidney function, and vitamin C, an immune supporter, research suggests, may help protect cells from harmful free radicals that can affect the development of chronic conditions like heart disease and certain cancers. Butternut squash flatbread. Shape 1 pound of pizza dough into a large oval and place on parchment-lined baking sheet. In a bowl, toss 8 ounces of butternut squash, 1 Gala apple, and 1/2 small red onion, all thinly sliced, with 2 tablespoons each olive oil and rosemary, coarsely chopped, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Fold in 3 ounce Gruyere grated. Scatter mixture over the dough and bake at 450 degrees for 15 to 18 minutes. That article was Eat to Reset Your Body by Stephanie Anderson Whitmer. The next article is Be Your Best Self by Jennifer King Lindley. You don't need a resolution this January. You may just need to remind yourself all the ways you are already amazing. Here, tangible ways to tap into your strengths from Find Your Joy, a new workbook from Prevention designed to guide you to your happiest life. Is that a cape billowing behind you? You may not realize it, but you possess superpowers, what psychologists call signature strengths. One of the founders of the field of positive psychology, Martin Seligman, PhD, at the University of Pennsylvania, identified 24 character strengths such as curiosity, fairness, and bravery. These strengths are universal, found across cultures. As individuals, we have them in different measures. Your strengths are at the core of who you are. Expressing them feels easy and natural. When you're using one, you feel, this is the real me, explains Ryan Niemick, psychology, educational director of psychologists at the global nonprofit VIA Institute on Character. If creativity is one of your biggies, for example, you may feel transported by a painting of watercolor or solving a hall closet organizing crisis using only shoeboxes. If kindness is at your core, you may feel most alive walking a hound from a local shelter. Seligman's research found that when subjects identified their top strengths and made a point of using them in a new way every day for a week, they felt less depressed and happier for months afterward. Maybe you already have an intuitive sense of your own powers, but research shows that most people are not aware of their best qualities, says Niemick. If you're among them, you can take the free assessment at viacharacter.org or reflect on a moment when you did something well, or maybe even were downright extraordinary. What was it about you that allowed this greatness? Once you find your top strengths, make a point of applying them in fresh ways daily. If one of yours is a love of learning, for instance, tackle a fresh challenge at work. Take up the oboe at last. It's natural to obsess about our problems, failures, and shortcomings, but struggles often hone our strengths, Niemick notes. Remind yourself that you have the internal resources inside to cope, thrive, and flourish. ID your strengths. These are the 24 qualities Martin Seligman says can make up a person's character, which are your biggest strengths. Circle them. Here's the list. Appreciation of beauty and excellence. Bravery. Creativity. Curiosity. Fairness. Forgiveness. Gratitude. Honesty. Hope. Humility. Humor. Judgment. Kindness. Leadership. Love. Love of learning. Perseverance. Perspective. Prudence. Self-regulation. Social intelligence. Spirituality. Teamwork. And zest. To gird yourself to cope with a current problem, it helps to reflect on your past successes. Think of a life challenge you faced and emerged from successfully. And here are a list of questions. What inner resources helped you do this? What lessons did you take away from that experience? What are you able to do today that you couldn't have pulled off 5 years ago? What has changed in you to make that possible? What would your friends or family say you were totally awesome at? Write about a time when you stepped out of your comfort zone and really impressed yourself. Chalk up your daily wins. Research has found that subjects who spend a few minutes each night writing about what has gone well that day feel measurably happier. Most of us focus on our weaknesses and on what we don't have, says Carol Kaufman, PhD, a life coach and assistant clinical professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. By listing good things, you're training yourself to reverse your focus from what you did wrong to what you did right. You're emphasizing your strengths, she says. To get even more impact, Beth Curlin, PhD, a clinical psychologist and the author of dancing on a tightrope, transcending the habits of your mind and awakening to your fullest life, suggest that you share the day's little achievements with a partner or another family member over dinner. Or write your small daily successes on little clips of paper and store them in a jar you keep in view. Once a week, take them out and reread them. Call up a felt sense in your body of any positive emotions associated with the win. For instance, a sense of calmness or competence. Soak in that experience for a minute or more. Really take it in, Curlin suggests. That article was Be Your Best Self by Jennifer King Lindley. The next article is Problem Solved, Dry Skin by Richard Leliberte. Chilly winter air does more than make your nose run and your body shiver. Plummeting humidity accompanies cooler temps, and dry air means dry skin. The skin barrier becomes leaky, loses its ability to hold onto water, and allows irritants and allergens to enter, says Savina Pugliese, MD, a clinical assistant professor of dermatology at Stanford University. Toasty indoor air can compound the problem by causing skin to become rough and scaly, cracked, flaky, peeling, and itchy. If you scratch to find relief, that can further break down skin, putting your risk for infection. Dry skin is pesky, but usually not serious. Take these steps to help soothe and hydrate it. Prevent it. Shorten showers. Try to be in and out within 5 to 10 minutes and turn the water temp to warm, not piping hot. Hot water feels nice, but it strips skin of healthy oils and causes irritation, making dryness worse, says Dr. Pugliese. Gently blot dry with a towel and apply moisturizer to damp skin within 3 to 5 minutes to better trap water and emollients. Cleanse gently. Harsh soaps can dissolve and wash away skin oils that naturally moisturize, says Robert Analik, MD, a fellow of the American Academy of Dermatology. Use mild soaps or gentle cleansers designed for sensitive skin and moisturize afterward, using products without alcohol or antibacterial ingredients, which kill germs but may dry out skin. A laundry tip. Use a fragrance-free or hypoallergenic detergent to help prevent skin irritation. Protect your skin. Wear gloves when washing dishes or doing household cleaning. This protects your skin barrier and reduces the risk of developing or exacerbating dry skin, Dr. Pugliese says. And don't go outside in chilly weather without slipping on a pair of gloves to protect your skin from dry air. Treat it. Lotion up. The drier the skin, the thicker the product should be, says John Wolf, MD, chair of the Department of Dermatology at Baylor College of Medicine. For super dry skin, try heavier petroleum ointment or a cream containing ceramides. If you have darker skin and have trouble getting your daily moisturizer or sunscreen to be completely absorbed, look for a tinted product, which can help avoid any stubborn white streaks, as Dr. Analik. Run a humidifier. Create moisture indoor air by running a humidifier in rooms where you spend the most time. Move it to the bedroom at night to run while you sleep. When you take a shower, you can create moisturizing sauna by keeping the bathroom door closed, which will help trap steamy air inside. Get it checked. If dryness leads to an itchy rash, see a doctor. Also, see one if you experience symptoms such as fatigue, unexplained weight gain, wounds that are slow to heal, or numbness or tingling on the hands or feet. In rare cases, this may be a sign of a condition like type 2 diabetes or hypothyroidism that can trigger dry skin or a rash. That article was Problem Solved, Dry Skin by Richard Leliberte. The next article is Natural Benefits of Elderberries by Erica Ellen Sansone. Elderberries have been used for centuries to enhance immunity and treat upper respiratory infections. Research shows that the antioxidant-rich berries have antimicrobial properties, which may make viral infections such as flu shorter and less severe, says Amanda Bowes, ND, chief clinician at National University of Health Sciences in Lombard, Illinois. Try her ideas for using them at home. Just be sure they're cooked to avoid an upset stomach. Immunity boosting smoothie. Start by making elderberry syrup. Add 3/4 cup dried elderberries, available online, to 3 cups of water, bring to a boil, lower heat, and simmer 45 minutes until reduced by half. Cool, then drain liquid through cheesecloth. Reserve this syrup. In a blender, combine a handful of spinach or kale with 1 cup blueberries, blackberries, or strawberries. Add enough water, almond milk, or coconut milk to cover ingredients and drizzle 1 tablespoon elderberry syrup. Blend well. Makes 1 to 2 servings. Healing Balm. If you're prone to cold sores, mix up this antiviral salve. Make elderberry syrup, recipe at left, but add 2 sticks of cinnamon and 1 teaspoon dried cloves while it simmers. Cool, strain, and add 1 cup honey. Take 1 tablespoon daily by mouth to prevent cold sores, or dab 1/8 teaspoon directly on the sore at the first sign of tingling. Store in a lidded jar in the fridge for up to 2 months. An anti-inflammatory facial. Reduce the signs of sun damage with this moisturizing mask that's safe for sensitive skin. Make elderberry syrup, then add 1 cup honey, which has antimicrobial properties to fight inflammation. Stir well, apply about 1 tablespoon to face, and leave on for 10 minutes. Rinse and pat dry. Store in a lid.